past week, I had the privilege of participating in our council. And the theme of our council this year was sacred. And so that was kind of the theme that went around everything that went on. So I'm going to take a time this morning just to give you a report, some highlights of some things that happened this week. And obviously, I'm not going to be able to tell you everything that happened. I won't be able to do justice to that, but I'm going to at least give you a taste of what that was like. So it started on Monday last week and went through Thursday evening. There were some seminars that people could have done on Friday, but it really started on Monday. And each day was broken into three segments. The mornings was what they would call the president's report. The afternoons were the business sessions. And then the evenings was a time of worship with speakers there. And just to give you an idea of how many people were involved, they did a count every day, and the count would fluctuate a little bit. But Wednesday's count, there were 1,557 in person and 816 online. That was the accredited. That means they had the rights to do voting and all that kind of stuff. In addition to that, there were another 725 in person and 85 in online. Corresponding delegates, they are allowed to be participants in everything, but they can't do any voting, basically. And so that was a total of 3,183 people who were participating in that. And again, the numbers would go up and down throughout the week. So what I'm going to do here is I'm just, instead of going through each day consecutively here with you, I'm just going to go through the sections. So I'll begin by talking about the president's report and what happened, and then I'll talk about business, and then I'll talk about worship, and then I'll try to wrap this whole thing up with some of my takeaways from the whole thing. So every morning with the president's report, it would begin with a time of worship, and Aaron Schust, some of you may know that name. He is an Alliance songwriter and recording artist that you may know, and he led the worship every morning, and so that was good. And followed by that would be a devotional from our president, John Stumbo. And then afterwards, and this was basically what happened every day, then the president's report would be fleshed out. And what I mean is the president's report is like this 172-page document. They didn't just sit there and read this document out there. Rather, they would have people who were representative of the various sections in the report get up and talk about their specific areas and give us some insights into those things. And so each day had a theme. Like I said, the overall theme was sacred, but then the first day had to do with the sacred church. So, I mentioned one thing. The official business and all that kind of stuff actually started on Tuesday morning. Monday morning was just committees and stuff working and getting all this stuff ready so that the rest of it could go through. So, so Tuesday morning is when this first president's report would begin. And the president talked about the fact that, you know, in the early church, all these churches were very different from each other, but that there was an interrelationship between them and that they were a very connected community. And he gave examples of all those kinds of things. I don't need to go through all those kinds of things. But the key idea here was the fact that the church is sacred because it belongs to Jesus. And that's just a thought that he wanted to get across to us there. And then it was funny. He shared a story about being alone when he was writing a book, when he was studying about the churches and things. And it was at a cabin in Minnesota. And the sun was going down and it had this big window, and he's looking out the window over the lake and he's watching that. And he's just in a posture of praising God and spending this time alone with him, just unaware. And he's like, I don't know how long I was in that posture, but when I got done, I decided to walk outside, and lo and behold, there were two fishermen out there having a smoke by the cabin. And they could see the whole thing. They could see this guy just in here. And, you know, and so they're all both kind of giving each other looks there, strange looks. And he just made this connection, you know. In this world, we're going to seem strange. Because we are aliens. We are strangers. We are citizens of heaven. It's important for us to keep those things in mind. So that was kind of the devotional time. Then he went into their present report, and I don't want to bore you with statistics here or anything, but I thought these statistics were important for us. And he started off the whole thing just saying that, you know, 2020, as we all know, was an odd year. And in 2020, says, I think every company or church or whatever is going to have a little asterisk next to that saying, don't base any trends on this data, because it's all totally different than normal. And so with 97% of all churches reporting in, he just gave us some comparisons between what was reported in 2018 and 2020. And as you might imagine, most of these numbers are down, okay? For instance, Sunday morning worship went from 277,903 down to 186,855, and that sounds horrible. But then he has also added, but there was also 179,999 online. So you start doing the math, and actually there was no loss at all in that. So interesting. Baptisms went from 9,710 down to 4,031. And I'll make a comment in a moment, but then he talked about conversions per church going from an average of 13.4 down to 6.8. And one of the things that he made as an observation here is that's probably because a lot of churches have counted in the past on doing events and having these events and then people coming to Christ at these events. Well, nobody could have events. And so it was really a challenge of, how can we do evangelism where we're not focusing on events? Good thing for us to think about as we do this. And then he also talked about number of baptisms per church, again, going from 5.2 down to 2.2. And all of these numbers can be kind of discouraging to us, but then he also made this good point, because for a lot of places, they were shut down completely and not able to get together. So it was like, praise God that something happened, you know, that there were people coming to Christ. There were people being baptized. So, you know, we need to just keep those things in mind and not focus on the numbers all the time, but that God is at work. And we are not responsible for the fruit. We're responsible for our faithfulness in all of this. And again, he just talked about the health of churches, and what it was discovered at this point is that 50% of all Alliance churches are either declining, are declining, that there is about 30% of Alliance churches that are in the growing, and then there are 19% that are plateauing at this point. So we can see that there are some things that need some attention here in the area of health. But then he wanted to celebrate some things. And that is that we have become much more of a multicultural denomination than we have been in the past, and that 41% of all the churches are now non-majority churches. So that means minority churches here. This 2020, we also saw 43 new churches being birthed. There are 50 projects in the pipeline in 2020 of churches to come. And then he just looking at the first 4 months here of 2021, we have 25 more churches coming. So things are happening here. So we got some things to celebrate. He also mentioned that finances are up all around in the Alliance right now. Giving they did show some trends that giving to the Great Commission Fund has gone down from, and this is based on total church budget. So based on what comes into churches, okay, that's how they're looking at what came in and making these numbers. But back in 1990, it was about 17.87% compared to church budgets that was coming into the Great Commission Fund. In 2020, it's down to 7.51% as compared to. So that's, you know, 10% difference between that. Now, part of what we need to understand in this is that with the changes in funding, it's really not that big of a difference as it sounds here. And that is because in the past, a lot of things that it really took to do missions wasn't being counted. And now we're starting to count all of the costs of what it does, what it really costs to do missions. That's what part of this funding change is about. The funding change is about removing obstacles and providing clarity about what is truly going on, what it truly costs, and then what it's going to take for us to see breakthrough among the least reached peoples of the world. And one of the things that he put out before us was to say that our Great Commission Fund, if we were to see the giving compared to church budgets or to be 10%, that would be enough to carry the Great Commission Fund. And so we can see we're really looking at needing about 3% more giving compared to that. So just one other comment I'll make about that day. It came out that Cambodia right now is one of the most fruitful areas. And that work began in 1923. So they're coming up on their centennial in a couple years here. But Cambodia is really... the next day, he began with a question: have you ever been misunderstood? And, you know, sure, who hasn't, right? And then he was talking about the Sermon on the Mount and the fact that too often we misunderstand what the Sermon on the Mount is about. And because it is misunderstood, it is misapplied. And then he gave this example here, a story of a Muslim man who was struggling in his faith in Islam, and he was going to give it up. And that God met him in some dreams, three dreams. And in the first dream, he heard a voice say to him, "I want you to read my book." Well, that book, of course, would be the Bible. And he got a hold of a New Testament. And he began reading it, and he was reading through Matthew because, you know, that's how you read a book. Anybody picks up a book, you begin at the beginning. And so he started reading in Matthew because it was a New Testament. And when he read through the end of chapter 7, the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he said he threw it down, and he just said, "That's impossible. That's impossible." And what... Dr. Stumbo said is, he actually understood it. It is impossible. And in Jesus, what he was doing in the Sermon on the Mount was saying, this is what the kingdom is to look like, but it's impossible for you to do. So he tells about the stuff where God wants to take us, what he wants to do in the world, but you're not going to be able to do this. And so the guy was done with it and ready to give up. And then he had another dream. And in this dream, God said to him, "I said, I want you to read my whole book." So he picked it up and he read it through. And when he read it through and saw the whole picture, he gave his life to Jesus. Because he understood that the power to do what it says in the Sermon on the Mount can only come from Jesus. It is impossible. We cannot do that. And yet we keep trying to do it. I'll say something in a moment. So, third dream then was, "Now that you are my follower, treat your wife and children differently." And he began to do that because of the power of Jesus. resident within him. And he came to discover that what he was not able to do without Jesus, he was now able to do with Jesus. And so he just closed with this, that we need to be released from try harder Christianity. We need to stop it. And we need to rest in him and get our power from him. So in the morning, the report was about women in ministry issues. And so it wasn't anything that we were discussing at this point. It was just a report to say this is where we are in that. And what that's going to do is then that report will be referred back to our district to look at. But the three issues that we are going to be dealing with in this area of women in ministry is, one, clarifying eldership. What is eldership? Two, clarifying ordination and understanding what ordination is. And then three, clarifying titling authority. So much more to come on that, but that's all that really happens at this point, just so you know what that's all about. We had some missions testimonies then. Thursday morning, I'm trying to move through. There's just too much here. This one statement I think is all I'm really going to say about Thursday, and that is he asked this question to us, and that is, why do we write ourselves in as the main character of the plot instead of Jesus? Why do we keep thinking it's about us when the plot is about Jesus? And we need to keep our eyes focused on that. The story is about him. We're included in the story, but this story is never going to be about us. So, I thought that was really good. The one thing I will say also about that morning is we did have some, it was also good, but they had some interviews with some people who are going to be going to what we call creative access countries, meaning that you can't know who they are and what they're doing, basically. And so they were up in front of us, and they had their backs to us the whole time, so we couldn't see their faces at all. And they were given the pseudonyms of Aquila and Priscilla and Bo and Ruth. So they were being interviewed, and just talking about the fact that there's going to be some regions in northern Africa where they're going to be able to go back in. Of course, northern Africa is highly Muslim, so just looking at that, and that the Alliance is really focused on going into the hard places, the unreached places, and we were reminded that this will be a slow work and that it will go largely unnoticed, but that this is God's call on the Alliance. And then he gave this imagery that this is our place in his armada. That's where we're going. And we were reminded also that there will not be opportunities without challenges. And that challenges do not mean there are no opportunities. Okay? But we're going to face that. And then they talked about the whole relocation project, which was, you may know that our headquarters currently is in Colorado Springs. They now have a place where it's going to be relocated. It's going to be east of Columbus and Ohio. It's a town called Reynoldsburg. And it's just amazing how God is providing all of the finances from this. All the finances for moving are coming from sources other than the Great Commission Fund. They have not used one penny of Great Commission Fund money to do this. And it's all paid for at this point for where they are in the project. They've got a former Kmart. It's a 9-acre plot. They've also got another building behind that's going to be office buildings. There's a McDonald's on the property there that leases out that area. So, but God has just been providing miraculously for this. But the one thing that he said about this is that one of the reasons they want to do this is because they really want to have a place where they can do ministry. And he made the statement that the people who oversee mission, The leaders who are in this place need to be on mission. So not just, you know, talking to us about how to do things and what we should be doing, but that they need to be involved in it. So I'm just very encouraged about that. And again, I am running out of time so fast, so I'm just going to have to do some stuff real quick here. We had two candidates for president. This was a year to elect the president. The two candidates were John Stumbo, who is the current president, and Dennis Episcopo, who is a pastor. And so we got to know a little bit about them better. So they did some interviews there. Wednesday, we did do the elections, and President Stumbo was reelected, and he will be serving his third and final 4 years as the president of Alliance, and I'm very excited about that and believe that God is in this. And then Thursday, the business session really was about the president's report. So he's, when you do the president's report in the morning, that's just kind of an explanation. Then you have the business session is the committee on the president's report, talking about this is, we've read through his report, these are the recommendations we make. And so the focus here was really about that section of the president's report that had to do with some proposed changes to our statement of faith. Now, I want to make it very clear here that our proposed statement, changes to statement of faith, have nothing to do with us going off in some kind of a liberal thing or something like that. It really had mostly to do with language issues there, updating the language and bringing clarity to some areas that weren't as clear. And so there are 11 points to this. We never made it through the whole thing, and so some of the things were passed, meaning that we agreed with the recommendations that were brought, and then these items will go to our next council. We didn't change our statement of faith. This was the time to talk about those things. You have to have two meetings of the council before any changes to statement of faith can take place. So those things went through. Some of them fell for reasons that were maybe legitimate, I don't know. But we didn't get to all of the items that were on there. And so those things are still going to be worked, and they're going to go back to the committees to work on those things. But so our next council in 2023 that will be brought up again, and we'll be talking on that again. And it ended that time with Dr. Stumbo just saying to us, can we trust that God is sovereign? You know, we didn't get through it. We didn't agree on everything that took place here, but can we trust that God is sovereign and that he is at work, and rest in that? Very quickly then, we had our evenings were the worship times. And one of the highlights for me was that in each of the evenings, there were interviews with some of, there were four senior saints. Each one of them was 90 plus. One of them was 98, going to be 99 like next month, whatever. So, you know, 370 some, I don't remember how many they said, combined wisdom together there. And what they would do in these interviews, did I say that they weren't there? That it was, they couldn't make it, so they interviewed them so that we could hear from them. And they would give their thoughts and reflections on various themes that were related to it, the council this year. And so they were asked about, you know, what is sacred? What do you think of when you think of the sacred bride, the church? What do you think about the power of God? What do you think when you hear the word calling? And so they would, you know, go ahead and give their reflections on these things. And I knew two of the interviewees pretty well, so I was just very blessed to see them on the screen, to see that they're still alive. You know. And then we also heard from some Alliance kids one evening. They did the same kind of a thing, and they asked them the question, what is the church? And so then they gave their answers on these things. And so I hope in the future here, that you, I mean, you're free to go look up these things yourself. They're available. But hope to show some of these videos and let you hear from them as well. And so Monday night began with Walter Kim. Walter Kim is the president of the National Association of Evangelicals. He's also the pastor of leadership at Trinity Church in Charlottesville, Virginia. And he spoke from Isaiah 6, which is that familiar passage of Isaiah seeing God in the temple there. And what he did is he kind of tied it together with the fact that when Isaiah was there, it was a time of inflection. It was a time of change. It was a time of uncertainty. And that we're living in that same kind of a time. And what Isaiah needed in that moment is he needed to know that the changeless God was still on the throne. Is that a message we need? We need to know that he is on the throne. And that we can trust him and we can go forward because he is. Tuesday, Jen Ashby, she is Executive Director of Ministries at Neighborhood Church in Rockville, Maryland. And just as, a side thing, I didn't realize this at the time, but that is the church that I grew up in. They've changed the name. That's why I didn't recognize it. I thought, well, this must be another church in Rockville. But this is a church I grew up in. When I was there, it was Metropolitan Alliance Church, then Durwood Alliance Church, and now it's Neighborhood Church. But anyway, so that was kind of interesting to make that connection later. But she spoke from 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and she began that message by focusing on the sacredness of the church and how God is highly protective of her. And that's kind of that middle section of 1 Corinthians 3, where Paul warns them, be careful, you know, about touching the church. But around that whole section there, it talks about the fact that we are all servants of God and that we are all builders and that all things are ours because of Christ. So that's kind of that message. And then on Wednesday, Spencer Sweeting, who is the pastor of North Springs Alliance Church in Colorado Springs, spoke. He spoke from John chapter 15, the vine and the branches. And he's just reminding us again that we need to remain connected to the true vine and to be deeply rooted in him. Reminded again that apart from him, we can do nothing. And then he made this statement I thought was so good, and that is, you know, we as an alliance are not just a missions movement, which is what a lot of people think of when we think of the alliance. We are that, but we are a deeper life and missions movement. And that the emphasis has to, again, we need to be rooted in Christ, connected to Christ, and out of that outflow, we'll do the missions. And then very quickly, Thursday night was the missions rally. Always an exciting time to see all the different missionaries there. 50 new workers were commissioned. Not all of them could be there. Some of them are on the field now. The neat thing was they made a point of, you know, through COVID, we've had a lot of difficulties. We've had to put up with a lot of things. But we've also gotten a good thing out of this as far as the missions are concerned, and that is, because we have to wear masks, they got to wear masks so you couldn't identify them. So the people even going into countries where it would be dangerous for them to be seen, they could come right out there and be seen because they had a mask on. So just kind of funny. The speaker that night was Celine Bauer. She is assistant field director for the Alliance in France, and she spoke from Isaiah 61. She began her message by telling the story of how the gospel first came to Vietnam and how it began with one person accepting that gospel and how his life was completely transformed. And then because of that, how others took notice and were attracted to the gospel and it began to grow, and how he prayed for the generations of his family that would come later, that they would embrace the gospel. And then she revealed to us, you can probably hear it coming already, that this man was her great-grandfather. and that his prayers had been answered. And then she just focused the last part of her message on that, the last verse of that section, which talks about that they will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor, and reminding us that we are the work of God, his planting for the display of his splendor, and that we should endeavor to spread the gospel so that others can also become oaks of righteousness in him. I'm just going to wrap up here. I want to say I'm so glad that I did participate in council as I watched it from afar. I wished that I could have been there for it, but I'm just so glad that there was an online option, and so I was able to participate. I want to say that I am proud to be part of the Alliance, that it is a great family. And like all families, it is not perfect. We don't agree on everything. A couple of examples I've kind of hinted at. One I didn't really, but when Reverend Stumbo was reelected, he only received 75% of the vote. So there's 25% that didn't vote for him. So we didn't all agree on that. And, you know, the proposed changes to the faith statement, the reason we couldn't get through it all is because we didn't agree on all the stuff there. But we all have the same goal. At the end of the day, we all have the same goal, and that is all of Jesus for all the world. And we need to stay focused on that. I believe that we have a great leadership team. I believe that they are truly seeking God's face and they are doing the best they can to be obedient to his leadership. I trust our leaders at the national office and district offices and stuff. This is great. I'm excited about the future of the Alliance. I am thrilled that we are placing such a strong emphasis on going to the world's most unreached. And I'm enthusiastic about the relocation to Reynoldsburg. I'm glad to be part of the Alliance. So I hope that you would take time to get to know our Alliance family better. One of the ways you can do that is to go to the Alliance website. It's just cmalliance.org. And you can learn all about who this family is that you are part of. And also, if you have any questions about council, you can see just about everything that went on. They made videos of it, and you can go see that again. That's at the website, and then you just look for council, and they have videos of all this stuff that you can watch. And just in closing, I just want to say again, thank you so much for virtually sending me to council this year. Looking forward to council in 2023, which will be in Spokane, so much closer here. So that is my report of what happened at council. Much more I couldn't say.